The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Sometime. In studio, I have with me Ms. Kelly McFarlane, president of TTAP, which is definition for... we'll be final just now. And Ms. Victoria Sinarine Gilal Singh, president-elect of TTAP. And we're here to break down misconceptions about mental health and discussing the importance of understanding mental health and destigmatizing psychological care. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, ladies. Welcome, welcome. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Today's a good day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah. All right, so TTAP stands for...
The Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists.
Oh, so, yes. So they have a whole group of y'all.
Yes, there's more. TTAP, there's more.
So tell me about the organization and what are the goals for the organization? What do you all do?
So we are the association that represents psychology or psychology in Trinidad and Tobago. So what we have is members who are within the mental health field. Mm-hmm. We have members who are psychologists, but we also have members who are not psychologists, but they work in the field of mental health. Our mission is to really spread the word of mental health in Trinidad and Tobago, mm-hmm. to effect positive change when it comes to mental health generally in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so we, a lot of the things that we do, including media, is to raise awareness as per our mission and vision.
Okay. And well, I see that Ms. Victoria is the president-elect.
Yes, ma'am.
So which means you've got a rowdy kind of Stuart Young situation going on here. No.
Yes, correct, correct.
So
correct.
The mentor is working with the mentee today.
Correct.
Yeah?
So we do get along very well.
Very well.
Nice. Yeah. So what would be your role for 2025 as you take up the president position?
Well, I will take up the president position after our AGM in October, when mm-hmm. Kelly will so graciously hand over to me. But we will be working together. We have a lot of plans this year. We want to service our membership. We want to help them to increase in their competence so then they can better service the people of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. So we have some projects that we are working on. And it's basically to work alongside each other. And I don't think I will very much deviate from... or that I intend to rather deviate from the course of TTAP, because we have been under such a really good course, a helpful course, progressing very nicely for the past year plus. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure 2025 is going to be just as much. Kelly always goes above and beyond expectations. So
thank you,
I do expect surprises as well. But it all is for... working together, not only for our membership, because TTAP itself is not a service provider.
Okay.
We are a membership of psychologists who then provides the service to the country, but we would want to work with them to help them to be able to provide that service to the best of their ability ethically, mm-hmm. within their competence. So if that means providing additional training, if that means working alongside them, supervision, all of these things are to come. So it's very exciting.
So mm-hmm. Ms. McFarlane, mm-hmm. in terms of the attention that mental health has been getting for 2024 into 2025, mm-hmm. what was the main objective for the Trinidad arm of psychiatrists, psychologists, mm-hmm. in TNT? And have you all met that quota?
So our work is ongoing, like in any other field. And that's in terms of following the trends and the research around mental health, mm-hmm. Upgrading your training as a professional, as a service professional, especially. You do have to keep training and learning as things evolve in our landscape. Mm-hmm. So that has been something that we have really been focused on. But, you know, even outside of that, just kind of bringing psychologists to this space where we share, mm-hmm. and we know each other very well and we have the resources of each other, that has been a main focus for us as well. We are also focused on impacting our culture, our our country's culture mm-hmm. where mental health is concerned. And so we want to do a lot more public awareness, or to continue public awareness. And that's another thing that is ongoing, because we may talk some, we may reach some people now mm-hmm. and some people later. Some people may be ready to receive now and some people ready to receive later. So everything that we're doing are really things that we need to continue doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are the different branches of understanding mental health?
When you say the different branches.
Well, for, or should I say the different approaches where mm-hmm. mental health is concerned, because there was a focus on men's mental health in November. And then there are children, because we had a discussion with the Children's Authority as well, and bullying was being exhibited mm-hmm. in schools. And then the perspective of abuse with women. I guess, mm-hmm. how do we approach each one of these?
Mm-hmm. And mental health in the workplace
and
as
the
well.
And the workplace as
that's
well.
That's a big one.
Correct.
Stress, that's mm-hmm. a big one, because what we've been seeing is that a lot of people come from medical care and their doctors send them mm-hmm. To us as a psychologist, because they are developing all sorts of physical illnesses or expressions of illnesses, symptoms mm-hmm. as a result of stress and mental health challenges. And this is happening quite a lot. Either we're now recognizing and understanding, and mm-hmm. you know, and by we are, I mean people outside of psychology, we knew all along, right? or accepting it. And so we're seeing it a lot more. I also think that people are more receptive and accepting of mental health care, mm-hmm. mental health treatment, right? So yes, you're right. There are different areas that we look at, abuse, trauma, and we know, you know, there's lots of trauma, lots of reasons for trauma, and a lot of times mm-hmm. we don't recognize it. So we go about and we are having certain experiences and we think it's something else, and our interpersonal our relationships are being
right, yeah.
affected, our sleep is being affected, our appetites, our interests in things that we're normally interested in. Strange, and we're recognizing that it's strange, but we find all sorts of reasons to say, mm-hmm. well, it's probably this. And it's not necessarily because people don't want to accept. In some cases it is, but sometimes it's because we don't know.
The
we don't understand
right. yeah.
what mental health means. And a lot of times, and this is something we should probably talk about, a lot of times we think, hey, if I go to a psychologist, it means I'm mad. Now, mad is not a diagnosis, right? Mm. We don't work with that word.
But the Trini colloquial way of saying, look, I'm mad person, you know, how does that, I guess it would affect the perception of mm-hmm. actually receiving help or, mm-hmm. or defining what, as you say, what madness is. Is it part of the problem, the way in which you speak?
Absolutely. I don't like it at all. I don't like that word at all.
Absolutely. And I think in the Caribbean, it's not Trini alone, but generally in the Caribbean, we're sort of conditioned to suffer in silence mm-hmm. because we have all of these generational views about what it means to go and seek help for something like anxiety and depression. And you do hear persons of older generations saying things like, oh, well, I never had anxiety. You probably did. You probably just didn't mm-hmm. call it anxiety. You know, your parents probably treated with it differently. But I think it is commendable. It's commendable for our society, the growth that we have made, the progress that has happened, particularly in the past 5 years, I would say more than that too, but particularly during COVID and after COVID, that we have sought to become more aware. And we have even accepted some of these, we've been more accepting of mental health terminology and understanding. And because of that, we can have programs like what we're having today
yeah.
where mm-hmm. we can talk about, you know, some of those problems, just as you brought up, where, you know, you call people mad, you call people crazy, where in fact, it probably just is that that person has maladaptive coping or they're not able to function in the society that they're in with the resources that they have at that point in time, which is where organizations like the Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists come in, because one of the things we want to do is we want to help the public to be more aware on what are some of the tools that are there, what are some of the things happening in your life that you can recognize mm-hmm. that tells you, hey, it's not okay, I'm not okay, let me seek help. Because to be truthful, if you fall and you break your arm, you will go to a hospital. Mm-hmm. If something is wrong with you, if you're coughing up blood, you will go to a doctor. If you can't see properly, you will go and get your eyes tested. If you have problems in mathematics, you will not ask your social studies teacher for help. So if it is that you are having challenges coping and dealing with the way you think and regulating your emotions, behavior, interpersonal relationships, then why not seek the person who was trained, the professional who would be able to help you in that regard. And the thing is, as psychologists, we don't want to tell you what to do. We want to help you to be able to manage your situation to the best way you could. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to tell you what we would do. We want to help you figure out what's best in your life and in your situation.
From the perspective of corporate Trinidad and Tobago, what has the support been like in understanding that especially coming out of the period of COVID where there was nobody in the workspace, and then all of a sudden we're back in the workspace. How has that evolved for you all across TNT at this point in time?
For psychologists, so we do see these rising rates of stress, or at least recognition of stress. I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the work that was done actually during the pandemic, in that a lot of organizations saw the importance of speaking to staff and teaching staff about mental illnesses or mental health problems and how to recognize them in themselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are happy to be back out because we are evolved to need social interaction. We are evolved that way. It's part of us, whether we like it or not, right? So being able to enter that space where we are connecting with others in person has been very healthy. However, it depends on people's life circumstances. For some people, it's a lot easier to not have to be in traffic all day, which is a big stressor. For some people, it's easier because they have children and they have to figure out how to manage the pickups, the drop-offs. Mm-hmm. So for some people, it has made their lives easier to be at home. Now, if those people have social interactions outside of the office, it could work for them. But if they don't, and they say, well, okay, I'm fine just doing this and focusing on my family or myself alone for a while because they're so busy, slowly what happens is when we don't have social support, it creeps up on us that we start to realize we're feeling a little more irritated more easily. You're having sort of these negative thoughts. We're tired all the time. You know, a lot of these symptoms. And we might say, well, it's burnout, and a lot of times it is burnout, right? But as Victoria was just saying, you know, if we feel certain things, then we should consult with the people who could help us understand, well, hey, maybe this is just burnout, it's just a little, you're tired today or whatever, or this is something you need to look at. I'll tell you one last thing before before you ask your next question. I always try to explain to people that we have symptoms of things, right? We might have symptoms of a depressive disorder, because I always say depression is a symptom and not an illness, right? We might have a depressive episode, which is symptoms of a depressive disorder that lasts for more than 2 weeks, right? And we nip that in the bud. Even psychosis, we nip that in the bud, and we have a good chance of remission and staying there. When we don't, and we let it fester and fester, then you enter the space of mental illness. And so, again, I mentioned the impact on our physical health, but even the impact on our mental health is something to consider when we do care of ourselves. If your sugar level high, but you don't have diabetes yet, and you leave it and you continue your life as normal, what happens?
You get diabetes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, I don't want to say from the period of COVID, and you're on the internet, you know, there are these short periods or short pieces that come about when you talk about mental illness, and you talk about coping mechanisms and that kind of thing. The idea of neurodivergence, how does that factor in to analyzing what from what society expects, and to how neurodivergence plays a part in it. How do you factor into that?
That's a big one, because that's another sort of disorder or another thing that's really trending in even in our culture, mm-hmm. recognizing autism, high functioning autism, ADHD, and so on. And I like that that's being recognized, because it helps so many people understand the challenges that they have and have had.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is be very careful about diagnosing. So ADHD, for example, 4% of the global population has mm-hmm. ADHD, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a small, relatively small percentage,
yeah.
right? But globally, we've known that there's a lot of overdiagnosis. The symptoms could overlap with a lot of different mental illnesses. So I will tell, or mental health conditions. So I will tell you that it's very important not to self-diagnose, because then you don't know what you're actually dealing with, and you're doing the wrong treatment.
Not only self-diagnosis, but other people observing and diagnosing for you.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother has so-so, so I feel that's what you have, because I'm mm-hmm. seeing this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
When you diagnose the wrong thing, you don't treat with it properly, and the treatment will not work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are a lot of people talking about, and I like that a lot of people are asking for the assessments
mm-hmm.
to know whether these symptoms I'm experiencing, is this ADHD? It could be anxiety. Mm-hmm. Is this autism? It could actually be complex post-traumatic stress. So there's so much overlap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even us as clinicians who do assessments, we are very careful and very thorough when we do assessments for neurodivergence, especially, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they like to put creativity and into that whole
rigidity,
yes, all kind of mixtures of, and then we talk about medication and all of that from diagnosis into that. How prepared is the health sector in TNT to, you know, tackle or to at least service that part of mental illness? Because diagnosis is one thing, but the treatment of it afterwards.
So let me, I have a personal bias for medication, but we are on the air, so I will not.
Okay. You'll tell me privately.
But the thing about it is this, medication is useful, right? Kelly would have spoken about diagnoses and the overdiagnosis of some things. So I think, firstly, you want to make sure that your diagnosis, that you actually went to someone who is competent enough to be able to give you that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be informed as to what tests you would have done, because there are some people who would not do kindly to their clients, because assessments do cost a lot, right? And I'm not trying to persuade somebody against it, but I'm saying that if you do make a decision to get an assessment, make sure you do your research, ask questions, go online, do your research. So you get your diagnosis, you want to fully understand your diagnosis. You want to be able to know, okay, medication is going to help me, but medication, can it be short term? Is it that I'm taking it for 3 months and this medication is meant to work in tandem with behavior therapy or talk therapy or some other type of psychotherapy or some other type of intervention?
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that's related to a family, am I the only person who's getting treated, or is my family also going to get support to help me? These are very important things, because for a person to be diagnosed, it means that their functionality has to be affected in more than one environment, right? Which means that when they're getting treatment, then there needs to be things that go across these environments as well. So if a student is diagnosed, the teacher also needs to be aware of how that would work, what are accommodations that need to be made in the classroom. The family also needs to adhere to things that need to be done differently at home, which mm-hmm. means that if one person is diagnosed in your home, it's kind of like everybody else is diagnosed. And, you know, Kelly gave the example of diabetes. Well, if one person is a diabetic in your home, everybody else can't be eating cheesecake every night, because that's not kind, right?
Mm,
I mean, they can.
But it's, out of sight.
Sure don't.
Yes.
They, you know, it's probably not best for the person who was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So in terms of how is our sector in terms of helping or being able to cope with that load? I would certainly say, now I can't answer that question. I can't say outright yes or no. But what I can say is that in treating with these types of things, a lot of education needs to be had. We need to know what medication is treating. We need to know, okay, this medication is said to treat anxiety, but what year did they say? You know, is it 1937 they were using this? Is there something else they're using now? What are the side effects? How does it affect long term? Because it's our brains we're talking about here, right? Yeah. So we'd be putting chemicals into our body, into our brains. We want to know what the effect is, how long we have to take it, how we treat with it. It has to be balanced. And what I can say is for persons who might be listening who already are prescribed medication and are taking it, definitely take it the way it's prescribed.
Supposed to take it, yeah.
You know, don't just decide one day that you're feeling worse than yesterday, so you take two. Or, you know, however it may
People
be.
Do that? Sorry.
they do that? Not at all.
Oh. I want to add to that, though, because so we do have access to medication in the public care system because medication is expensive, right? And if you don't have insurance, and even if you have insurance, you still have to find the money to pay for that. And medication is not a one and done. It's sort of something
that's continuous thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And psychiatric medication is expensive. So we have that facility. We have psychiatrists in the public health sector. And we had certain healthcare facilities that were offering psychotherapy or counseling. I think, from what I know, the RHAs are increasing that. So they just did a big recruitment drive. So we'll have more psychology being offered or counseling being offered in the RHA. Of course, healthcare is free in Trinidad and Tobago. So if you can't pay for this private care, healthcare, just like in medicine, right, you should be able to get services in the healthcare with regards to diagnosis, assessment, because I think that's what you asked, right? I know that you can get psychoeducational evaluations. That's like what Victoria is talking about for children and the teachers involved and so on. With regards to adults getting assessments for, you know, sort of adult things that mental illnesses that adults might want to go kind of test, that part, just like Victoria, I'm not 100% sure that we get that in the public health sector. But it's available privately should you need it.
No, I mean, we don't have enough time because we got 7 minutes to news, right? But I think you just highlighted a serious deficit because if it is that we want to be able to address mental health on a public scale, it not being available, the assessments, that's part of the problem. I think that's the problem right there, because if it is that you don't have the facilities or the resources to safely and confidentially do that assessment, it's just going to be like, well,
if we don't assess, how we know?
How will we know?
That's exactly. A big thing for me.
Yeah.
I want to know what I'm treating, and I want to be sure I know what I'm treating. I mean, it doesn't mean that your psychological profile mightn't change or show up different things, or just kind of you go into remission with a lot of things. But as you go along, you know, with the person that you're treating, you learn more about them and the context of their mental health. So no body or assessment is 100% perfect all the time, but we definitely work to ensure, well, you know, competent, as Victoria said, competent and ethical psychologists definitely work to ensure that we have pinned down the proper and correct diagnosis.
And it takes a while, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. When you walk in, and when somebody tells us they walked into whatever office and spoke for half an hour or an hour and they got diagnosed with something that's particular types of diagnosis, we always kind of side-eye.
And the reason why it's so important is because if you continue to treat a symptom but not the cause, then you're continually going to end up having symptoms. So we need to know what the cause is, and it takes really long. Because as Kelly would have said, a lot of times when the initial thing happens, the treatment is not sought, that is repressed, you know, and then that mutates or it affects a lot of other things. So by the time somebody actually comes to therapy, we are treating all of the symptoms that came out from that. But unless you really can diagnose and uncover what that causes, then it's very difficult to be able to unfold everything, unravel it, and sort it out.
Well, for anyone who's listening right now that is seeking out that type of interaction with members of your organization, how do they get in touch with you? With 2 minutes to go, I'm telling you, we should have done this a little earlier, but yeah. How do we get in contact with you?
So you can go to psychologytt.org. That's our website. And on there, we have a list of, a directory rather, of mental health professionals. If you're looking for a psychologist, click on psychologist. Mm. If you are looking for another, like a social worker, an art therapist, etc., click on affiliate members. And we also have a phone number, something T-Tap. I'll find it just now. But it's on our website. Mm. And you can email secretary@psychologytt.org or admin@psychologytt.org if you need any further information.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram and keep up to date with some of the things that we're doing.
Using social media in a positive way.
Absolutely.
All right, TNT, well, we're going to close off today. Thank you so much, Ms. Kelly McFarlane, President of TTAP, and also Ms. Victoria Sirinarine Jilal Singh. I do apologize, Ms. Jilal Singh. Welcome, and well, congratulations on being the elect, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you so kindly.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.